I woke up on this Thursday morning after taking in what we saw yesterday afternoon in the Bronx with the Yankees hitting six home runs and destroying and sweeping away the Washington Nationals. And then the brilliant performance by Nolan McLain last night for the New York Mets out in Queens as the Mets cracked out the brooms and swept away the Philadelphia Phillies. And as you wake up on this Thursday morning, the Mets are, you know, within shouting distance, and even more so than that, you know, within four games, at a four-game deficit to the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League East. And you know, they've turned a corner, and it is a long, and this summer has been a test, there's no question about it, to the fandom of both the Met fan and the Yankee fan at times, and the true belief in both organizations. But if you compare the two, and we like doing comparisons, if you compare the two, I woke up this morning thinking about fear, right? And sometimes, you know, you have different fears in life. Maybe you fear snakes. Maybe you fear spiders. Maybe you fear failure. Maybe you go fear your wife. Maybe you fear going. I have no idea what you might fear, right? But there's all different kinds of fears, right? Where you look at, maybe you fear going out there riding roller coasters. I don't know what it might be. Everyone's, that's what makes us all unique. That's what makes us all different despite our personalities. All those kind of things is, you know, different things we might fear in life, right? So you look at fear and use that as kind of a marker, right? There is undoubtedly no question, no doubt about it. If you're comparing the Mets and the Yankees in terms of a fear factor for both organizations going up against opponents, there is a fear for National League opponents with the New York Mets. And let me explain to you why. And then we'll get into the Yankees and the concerns there. But when you look at the Mets last night, and McLain's been brilliant, 0.89 ERA in three starts in the major leagues. You know, he reminds you, I don't know if there's really a comp that comes to mind. Maybe it's Greg Maddux. It's not your prototypical guy where he's standing on the mound and he's 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", and he's going out there and he's throwing the ball 98, 99, 100 miles an hour, topping out at 102. It's nothing like that where it's pure velocity, max effort, every single pitch. Everything that we've gone through in a numerous amount of starters, whether it be here in New York or across major League baseball, but what he has the ability to go out there and do is throw six pitches, keep hitters off balance, and he goes out there and throws strikes and attacks the strike zone. And as Carlos Mendoza, Boone, Torrey used to talk about, Girardi used to talk about it, Terry Collins used to talk about it, you know, you got to go out there and be competitive in the strike zone because this is Major League Baseball, and McLain has been brilliant. And there is no doubt, I mean, the Philadelphia Phillies, when they step into Citi Field, I mean, they are treated like the redheaded stepchild. I mean, there is a little bit of a fear factor when it comes to Philadelphia. But when you look at this Met team on the whole, with what McLain has provided this starting rotation, and they were desperate. I don't think there was any plan 2-3 months ago to see Jonathan Friday night against the Marlins or to see Nolan McLain now making three starts here for the New York Mets. I think David Stearns, if all things went well, those two guys would not be making their Major League Baseball debuts until 2026. But desperate times call for desperate measures. When you go out there and you sign Juan Soto in the offseason to a $765 million contract, when you bring Pete Alonso back on a short-term deal, when you are the owner, Steve Cohen, and you take over this organization, buying it from Fred Wilpon, Jeff Wilpon, and Saul Katz, and talk about winning World Series in the first 5 years when you're, you know, whining and dining Soto in free agency, and you talk about winning 2-4 World Series in the first decade that he is a New York Met. Well, you know what? You got to go out there and be aggressive. And this Met starting rotation wasn't good enough. Yes, David Peterson was an all-star. Manaea does not look like the same starter that he was a year ago. And, you know, ever since Kodai Senga hurt his hamstring, you know, middle part of the month of June, since his return, he has not necessarily looked like even close to the same pitcher that he was previous to that injury. So, and Frankie Montas was a lost cause before he suffered the UCL injury. I mean, he stunk. So the Mets needed to go out there, and you had two guys down on the farm, and we'll see one on Friday night, but Nolan McLain has stepped into this starting rotation and given him a little juice, and the rotation needed it. The bullpen was getting gassed. We saw that. You saw what David Stearns was able to do at the MLB trade deadline, but with the resurgence of this rotation led by McLain, amazingly enough, and we'll see exactly what Tong is able to give this team on Friday night, the mojo for the Mets is back a little bit. I don't think there's any doubt about it. When you see what they've done the last three nights against the Philadelphia Phillies at home, when you look at what the fact that Mark Vientos, who we've been waiting, I mean, we've been waiting for Mark Vientos to finally find it, to start to resemble the hitter that he did a year ago, when not only was he clutch in big moments, and he was clutch in October. And I've said it time and time again, there are guys where their talent meets the moment of the playoffs, meets the moment of the pressure of the playoffs, and there is no analytical spreadsheet. There's no, you can't pop up Excel. You can't go out there, look at a data point to figure out what's going on in between someone's ears. What's kind of, if they're able to go out there, compartmentalize the moment, meet the moment, and still perform at a very, very high level. And Vientos, a year ago, looked like a burgeoning power-hitting star, not only for the Mets, but for all of Major League Baseball. And he has not resembled that hitter until we hit the basically the month of August, or really the last 10 games. And he's been fantastic. So you throw in Vientos to go along with Soto, to go along with Lindor, to go along with Nimmo, to go along with Alonso, to go along with the multidimensional Jeff McNeil. And then all of a sudden you have a team that goes out there, plays good defense, doesn't go out there, beat themselves. You know, sir, clearly the starting rotation, you're going to need to get something from either Manaea or Kodai Senga to be truly dangerous come October. But there is a fear amongst other National League teams where the Dodgers aren't necessarily the same, you know, the dominant team everyone expected to be, whether it be a little bit of a downturn of performance or whether it be injuries. You look at the Philadelphia Phillies, major loss without Zach Wheeler. You've got the Milwaukee Brewers. You've got the Chicago Cubs. You go up and down the line. There is a team now in the New York Mets. If they're able to see what they did this past three games against Philadelphia, what they did down in Atlanta, what they've been able to do here over the last week and a half, if this team has truly turned a corner, then you know what? The team that was dangerous a year ago is going to be dangerous once again come the playoffs and come October. And they put fear in the hearts of other National League playoff teams. They are going to be a playoff team. Mets sweep away the Phillies. The Reds get swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers. That lead for the third and final wild card spot in the National League is now 4.5 games. But now you can start to think about and talk about the division. And if this team is able to go on a magical run and not just get to the National League Championship Series, not to get to a Game 6, not take another step and maybe get to a Game 7 or get through the National League, but to potentially go out there and win the World Series, maybe it'll be on the arms of the youngsters. Maybe it'll be on the arms of what you've seen from Nolan McLean, who's real. Let's be honest. I mean, it's been impressive to watch. There's no question about it. If you're a Met fan, you should wake up on this Thursday morning smiling about what this young starter has been able to do and how he goes about doing it. The confidence level, the moxie that he has, the preparedness that he has, the ability to go out there and throw strikes, the ability to go out there and throw that Bugs Bunny changeup, you know, at 79, 81 miles an hour. I mean, it is remarkable. It's not a 93-mile-an-hour changeup. It's an 81-mile-an-hour changeup. And he's not like he's topping out at 102, 101. He's been great. And we'll see what Jonah Tong is on Friday night. So the Mets have turned a corner here, and the Yankee fan is looking at themselves and saying, well, listen, we just swept away the Washington Nationals, right? You got to start to feel good about yourself, and the Yankees go out there and hit six home runs yesterday afternoon against the Nats, and now they're in the Chicago to take on the White Sox, who happen to be 48-85 on the season. Here's the problem you have, and listen, you know I grew up a Yankee fan. You know that, and this is not being just, you know, pessimistic Joe on a Thursday midday right here on WFAN, but let's be realistic here. When you've watched this Yankee team, what do the Yankees do? They beat up on bad baseball teams. They have a tendency to go out there and knock around bad baseball teams. And that's where they sit right now, you know, in the wild card race, and they're within, you know, striking distance of the American League East. And, you know, they've got some big time series, one coming up against the Houston Astros next week, and they should be able to dispatch easily of the Chicago White Sox this weekend out there in the second city. But people have asked me, well, what do you learn when the Yankees go out there and hit six home runs? What do you learn when the Yankees go out there and embarrass the Tampa Bay Rays down in Tampa, the spring training home of the Yankees? What do you learn? Learn nothing. I mean, learn nothing. The one thing that you can probably say that you've learned about this Yankee team this season, you know, in terms of, and we've taken call after call here on WFAN about them. If you've been on the rear end of Giancarlo Stanton, get off. If the calling card has been you've called this station and talked about him running the bases or not playing the outfield, get off. There's a time and a place, and now is not the time, and now is not the place. because I think we've learned a little something about Stanton here this season as a New York Yankee, if you're not paying attention. And yes, I've appreciated Stanton for the October player that he has been. But you have gotten here since he's coming off the IL. What you've gotten from Giancarlo Stanton is the best version of Stanton that you have seen as a New York Yankee in the regular season. And it's been impressive to watch. It really has been. And we talk about leadership traits. I'll tell you this. I don't think there's any doubt that the words of Giancarlo Stanton, even though he's not a great interview, and, you know, I think that's based on him wanting not to be a great interview. But I think based on his experience, I think based on his place in that Yankee locker room, in the clubhouse on a day-in, day-out basis, I think his words matter, especially around this group. We could talk about all about Aaron Judge, the captain of the New York Yankees, and undoubtedly he is, and the brilliance of Judge, and he hit a two-run bomb yesterday afternoon against the Washington Nationals, and now he's got 41 home runs on the season. However, when you look at what Stan's been able to provide for this team, it has been utterly remarkable. And Boone talks about it time and time again in terms of, you know, him wanting to win, and I don't think there's any doubt about it. And when we crave for players in this marketplace to meet the moment, when we judge guys based on if it's an inherent knock, well, he's a great regular season player, not great in October. When we get into conversations about Judge and his brilliance in the regular season as he's neck and neck with Cal Raleigh this year to be the American League MVP. But the big knock on Judge, just like as it was for Barry Bonds the majority of his career, has been he's never been a great big game player. You know who's a great big-game player historically for the Yankees? I mean, in recent memory, well, Bernie Williams was a great big-game player. He was a good player in the regular season, very good player in the All-Star. I mean, he was a very good player. But when he got to October, he was able to ramp it up to another level. Now, when we talk about Stanton, he's been a former MVP of the league. When he was with the Marlins in the National League, I get that. When he got here and the conversation was the contract, the albatross, that Jeter got one over on Cashman. You know, the Yankees didn't give up all that much, but now they're hindered because he can't go out there and play the outfield, locking in the DH role. And we could talk about this roster for the New York Yankees. But Stanton, you want to talk about a guy that, you know, talks softly and carries a big stick. There's no doubt about it. That is Giancarlo Stanton. And he has a penchant for where the talent meets the moment. But we talk about the fear of the Mets among National League opponents. There is not that fear. And we can talk about the wide open nature of the American League when you look at this Yankee team. It's a positive that Fried has looked good his last two starts. It's a positive that Cam Schlittler, you know, throwing the ball at 98, 99 miles an hour has looked really, really good for the young hurler. It's a positive that even though they've changed some of the names in the back end of the bullpen, they have found themselves for the most part. You know what the negative for the New York Yankees has been? And there have been a number of them. If you keep them in the ballpark, they struggle to score runs. They can't go out there and generate offense with a little bit of small ball. Caballero can change that. But still, the Yankees have this penchant to be in that foxhole with Anthony Volpe at the shortstop position. Yes, there is not a great variety when you look at this lineup because they have a lot of guys that would probably be better designated hitters than anything else. They've also been a sloppy, dopey baseball team. You know, it was interesting the Ken Rosenthal report the other day when he talked about the fact that if this Yankee team disappoints this year, that, you know, part of the conversation could be massive change or Cashman's job on the line or Boone's job on the line, that, you know, it would be in play. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. The Yankees as an organization have been really, really self-satisfied over the years of just making it to the postseason and punching their ticket for October home playoff dates, where they have not been one where they've judged themselves, graded themselves, whether you like it or not, whether it's realistic or not, on the idea of winning a World Series. And if you don't, the season's a failure, regardless of what, how many games you won in the regular season, what individual accomplishments were attained. If you didn't win that championship, the season was a failure. That line of demarcation is long gone. And we've been there, done that. Now you look at this group this year, as comparatively speaking, if you look at the Mets, with the way that they've turned a corner, the fact that the bottom third of their lineup is starting to hit, Alvarez's injury and the fact that he got hit on the hand last night down in AAA Syracuse is a concern, but Vientos is starting to pick it up. You look at this lineup, it's no longer about just the top four. Nolan McClain has given this starting rotation a little bit of a juice. We'll see what Jonah Tong provides on Friday night against the Marlins. And you comparatively speaking, look at the New York Yankees and you say, well, the Yankees still, they've got the power. But against good teams, do they? Do they play smart baseball consistently? See, the thing when you look at the Yankees is this, is that, yes, they've won some baseball games. Yes, they're going to go to the playoffs. If they didn't, yes, I'm sure that heads would roll. But this is going to be a playoff team. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Do I think they're going to win the American League East? Probably not. You look at their record against top four teams in the American League based on record, well, based on, you know, winning percentage, well, I mean, it's not particularly good. And what they have been for the majority of this season is they've been more of a bully team than anything else. And yesterday was a perfect case in point. Yeah. They knocked around the Washington Nationals, but I ask you, the Yankee fan out there, what did you learn? I'm sure if you went out to the ballpark yesterday afternoon, you enjoyed it. Sun-drenched Yankee Stadium, had a couple libations, had a hot dog, maybe you got a steak sandwich, whatever you might have done. You know, maybe you take your kids to the game right before the end, Labor Day weekend, and school gets going wherever you might be, you know, whether it be Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, New York, whatever it might be, you know, before the kids get into school next week. And he had a wonderful afternoon. Judge hit a home run. Bellinger hit a home run. They went back-to-back, as Sterling used to say, in a belly-to-belly. All good. But when you walked out of that stadium yesterday afternoon, what did you learn? What did you take away from it? Did you feel undoubtedly that much more excited about what this team potentially could be come October? Because even though the Yankee organization doesn't judge themselves based on October's success, I still do. And I think a majority of Yankee fans still do. And the fear factor that the Yankees once had amongst other American League teams, that is gone. And if you look across the way to Queens, there is a great fear factor that, oh my God, the Mets have finally found it again. Oklahoma City, Lawrence, the fam. What's going on, Lawrence?
You know, as a Mets fan, if you had told me like 2-3 weeks ago we'd be in this position and I would be this high on this team right now, I probably would not believe you. And then to just think about the playoffs right around the corner, if we can continue this momentum, and maybe if this Jonah Tong kid can pitch well, it's a... What's more exciting than watching a pitcher make his debut and put a team on his back and do what McClain's done? And it's just great to be a Mets fan right now, and I hope we can continue this ride we're going on.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. When you see a young starting pitcher, and let's be honest, I mean, he's been dazzling. You could throw in a number of different adjectives when you're thinking about Nolan McClain and how impressive that he has been. And he does it a little bit different. The variety, the ability to go out there and throw six different pitches for strikes, keep hitters off balance, frustrate guys. The changeup he threw last night at 81 miles an hour to get a cold strike. I mean, it's fun to watch. It really is. Works quickly. He's got a presence about him. I know he's not this mountain of a man when you're looking at him, but still was dominant down in the farm and has come up to the major leagues and has taken the ball for three starts. He is pitching to an under one ERA. I mean, he's been as good as advertised, and I would probably tell you he's been better. I mean, if you were telling me that he was going to be this good through the first three starts before his major league debut, I probably would have told you you're crazy. There's going to be a little bit of a hiccup in the road, and there hasn't been. He's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, no one expects a sub one ERA, and then to see it all coming together with Vientos and Beatty's a good at bat as well. Now I like to see Hayden Sanger come up to bat when he has an opportunity to play catcher. Just a lot of good vibes on the team, and let's go, Mets. Thanks for taking the time to...
Yeah, you got it. I mean, and it just shows you the length of the MLB season. I mean, it really does. And, you know, marathon, not a sprint, everything that we get into, judge a team based on what they've done over a two-week stretch instead of overreacting to particularly one game. And the Mets have had some, down points this year. There's no doubt. And we gave, you know, David Stern his flowers, so to speak, at the MLB trade deadline for what he was able to do, how he was able to attack and address in the back end of that bullpen. And some of those moves have worked and, you know, some haven't. You know, Helsley's basically brought his gas canister to the mound every time he stepped onto the mound back into that bullpen. The, you know, former closer with the St. Louis Cardinals. But great entrance, but still, I mean, it is what it is. Outside of that, you're not wrong in terms of Beatty, an afterthought. He has gotten hot here. And then Vientos. And we've been waiting. Listen, I've been surprised. I really have been. And I know he spent a little bit of time on IL. I thought what we saw last year was the beginning, the start. And we've had a lot of conversations about Mark Vientos on this very radio station. A lot of stuff has been written in the papers. A lot of stuff that has been said on, you know, on TV. When you look at Vientos and what was, you know, especially the way he was handled by Billy Epler and company a couple years ago. But finally got an opportunity last year. I thought what we saw last year was real. Had to back it up this year with a big-time performance, and obviously didn't. And we are waiting for it. Playing time taken away from Ronnie Mauricio at third base. Like, all the stuff that we have seen here, and now he is starting to find it. And if Vientos is able to continue the way that he's hitting right now, like I mentioned, hitting .297 in the month of August, last 8, 10 games, look at the amount of guys that he's been able to drive in. You know, he's got a, you know, 9, 10 game hitting streak going. If Vientos is able, not the fact of the hitting streak, but the big moments, the big home runs, and show off that power, you know, he is going to be worth his weight in gold for the Mets. There's no doubt. Let's head out to Shirley, New York. It's Phil. It's the fan. What's going on, Phil?
Moose, what's going on, my brother? Hope all is well.
Everything's good, Phil. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. What a time to be alive. What a time to be a Mets fan right now. Nolan McLean has got me insanely excited. I can't wait for Tom this Friday. And I know we have 29 games left. I could be getting a little premature right here talking about this conversation, but if the playoffs were to start tomorrow, I want to hear your three-man rotation. I feel like I got to go Peterson game one. I feel like he's just been so consistent. McLean has been on another level, right? He's been on another level. I got to start him game two right now, gun to my head. I mean, I know there's more time for this decision to get made, but if the playoffs are tomorrow, the kid is pitching in these three games. And then I guess I got to go Senga. I know he's been scaring me a little bit, but yeah, I still trust that he can be nasty, right?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Phil. I mean, if the playoffs started today, I think that would be your top three.
I mean, listen, if they want to find Mendoza, Moose, if they want to find Mendoza, I'm a lot cheaper, all right? I'm a lot cheaper.
Oh, stop. I mean, Mendoza, and that's where we overreact. I mean, there comes a point in the year in which Yankee fans call up this station and want to fire Aaron Boone, which is not happening. And, you know, the criticism when we've gotten to Mendoza, nitpicking on a day-in, day-out basis, a guy that came into this building, organization, obviously helped change the culture within the building, you know, had a really successful year, number one. And I get, this year there were expectations, you know, unlike anything before. The Mets are going out there. They're no longer in the teens in terms of attendance. You know, they're drawing anywhere from, based on opponent, the building was packed the last three nights against the Philadelphia Phillies, but, you know, they're averaging at home, you know, 36 to 39,000 every single home date. That's exactly what Steve Cohen wanted. And that is a reaction to the Mets going out there and adding Juan Soto during the course of the offseason. So the Mendoza conversation to me gets a little bit annoying at times. I get the criticism. I understand this is a huge baseball town and fans are very, very, very passionate, living and eating and breathing it every single day. Now, when you look at it, yeah, I mean, we'll see what Tong is on Friday night, but there's no doubt what McLean has been able to accomplish here the first three starts. And, you know, he's got to keep it going, as do the New York Mets. I mean, they really do. But like I mentioned, that fear factor, it's real. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And when you look at this team, it's not like they are not without talent and ability, and they've underperformed this season, and they're starting to find it at just the right time. And that's what you want to do. You want to be peaking at the right time of the year. You want to be peaking late August, September, going into the playoffs, into the month of October. Now, we're a ways away. We've got 29 games to go here in the MLB regular season. As we've seen here in the baseball regular season, you know, a lot can change over the given span in terms of the positivity, negativity when it comes down to, you know, a 1 to 2 week stretch. but you like the fact, and this team is starting to show that a little bit of mojo and moxie that they did a year ago. Let's head out to Stamford, Connecticut. It's Kevin. It's the fan. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, Moose. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How are you, bud?
Good. I like to, for once, can we talk positive things about the Yankees?
Yeah.
Like, who would have ever predicted Grisham hitting 25 home runs this year? Bellinger, the year he's having, man, it's great. We've got two young pitchers. You're talking about Met pitchers. Warren and Schlittler are doing fantastic. Jazz, 25 home runs at second base. Ben Rice. I mean, there's a lot of positives. I just wish we could talk positives for once about the Yankees.
Well, yeah, we can, but I was drawing a comparison. And you could agree and disagree. I mean, like, I'm not, you know, everything you say, I don't need everyone to agree with what I have to say. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, right? And I'm not offended whether you agree. I don't really, you know, it doesn't bother me one way or the other, right? So if you want to look at this Yankee team and you're excited, I haven't learned anything. Like, the Yankees hit a lot of home runs. Yankees have been a bully team this entire year. Yankees beat up on bad pitching. I'm not telling you that there aren't positives. You're right. I'd never envisioned Trent Grisham having the kind of power that he's had. Now the question is going to be contract year. What exactly would you be willing to give Trent Grisham? And where is he in the plans if Cashman is leading this team following this season, right? Bellinger, been great. I thought Bellinger would be really good. Though his swing fit Yankee Stadium, you know, he's obviously been there, done that, Los Angeles, Chicago, now here in New York, wanted the opportunity. Not all that surprised and shouldn't be surprised that Bellinger's a really good defensive player. He has been. The frustrating angle with the Yankees is it's kind of, you thought, even though some of the performances have surprised you and where you've gotten it, they are exactly kind of what you thought they were going to be. Right? The Yankees are a team that, if they don't drive the ball over the fence and hit home runs, they really struggle to generate offense. I mean, that's true. Like, we can go all get focused on the run differential and look at that and say, okay, well, look at that. Yeah, the Yankees, just look at what they were able to do against the Nats. Look at what they were able to do, you know, against Tampa in that two-game set down in Tampa Bay, Florida, you know, just last week. Yeah, the Yankees can go out there and do that. What do they do against quality teams? You know, what do they do? What happened this past weekend against Boston? You know, what's going to happen next week against Houston? What happens when they see the Toronto Blue Jays? You know, what happens when they make a mental error or have a physical error or, you know, throw to the wrong base? The stuff that we have seen that has annoyed you as a Yankee fan throughout the course of the year that keeps on rearing its ugly head.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. But I don't know. I guess I'm more glass half full than half empty. Look at G. And G's, oh my God, I can't believe the year he has. And Fried and Rodon, I know Fried's been up and down because of the, but he's still won about 12, 13 games. Rodon leads the league in victories. I don't know. I just.
Yeah, Fried's been really good. Last two starts, he's been really good. You know, he had a 6 or 7 game stretch in which he was pitching to a north of a 6.5 ERA. And maybe he was a little bit of worn down. Rodon has been good this year. Schlittler has been good. Will Warren has been positive. You know, I like the way Cashman went out there and attacked free agency. The frustrating aspect is, you know, the Yankees don't seem to. It's one thing, like, and I've got three boys. I've talked about them before, right? They're 12, 10, and 8, right? And it's one thing when Don and I try and, you know, teach them a lesson and, you know, they don't want to listen. They're at that point in time where, you know, they think they know all and everything like that. And that's fine. I mean, it's just part of the growth and experience and, you know, before you, you know, get to your teenage years and all that stuff. But, you know, you like them to learn some lessons over the course of time and then don't continue to make the same mistakes. When you watch the Yankees, unfortunately, they like to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And it gets rationalized and excused by the manager after games, and it makes you want to bang your head up against the wall and say, wait a second, that's not smart. Like, that's really stupid. And, you know, that can't be the case. Like, it's one thing to say it, you know, behind the scenes, and I'm not expecting Aaron Boone to go out there and throw his players under the bus after the game, but there's a way to go about doing it. Like, there might have been a point in time during your Yankee fandom where the Yankees were so superiorly talented that they could have make a mental mistake, make a physical error, not necessarily play a clean game and be able to overcome it against really good teams. Those days are long gone. No, that's not this Yankee team. That's not this year. So yeah, it's not like I don't enjoy it. I enjoyed listening to, you know, Dave and Susan yesterday as I was driving into picks and, you know, listening to them go out there and score 9 runs in the top and the bottom half of the third inning and win that game by daylight. Like, it was fun. It was fun to hear and seeing Grisham lead off the game with a home run. Bellinger, you know, Judge and Bellinger go back to back. Judge with a 421-foot blast to straightaway center field. Fun, exciting. What, do I take anything away from it? Like, did I put my head to the pillow last night and say, wow, you know what? The Yankees have found it. Am I going to think that differently this weekend as they take on the Chicago White Sox, who are 48-85 on the season and are an embarrassment to Major League Baseball if they knock around Chicago this weekend? No, I think the Yankees are what they are. We'll learn something when they start to take on the Stros, who've been the Yankees' daddy. And there's no question about that. Baseball, the conversation early on. Bet page we go. It's Charlie. It's the fan. What's going on, Charlie?
Hey, Moose is in the house. Moose, great job. I love listening to you all the years. It's the first time I've ever spoke to you. And great job on TV. But my Mets have got me really pumped. I'm going out there tonight. BT makes a little fun of me because I go out there with my rusty Cobb jersey. But I am pumped for the game tonight. And this new kid, Nolan McClain, he's the real deal. The kid's got a set of cojones. The kid goes 8 innings. I want the rest of the Mets pitching staff to feed off it. We need to do the right thing. That kid saved the bullpen last night, and that's what we needed. We need pitchers to go longer. And everybody's feeding off the bottom of the lineup. Everyone's hitting that lineup. Everyone's putting the numbers up there. And this was the Met team we all thought we were going to get going back to opening day and back in April. And it's finally coming together. It's working right now, but I need to see it more consistent. I can't have a flop now against Miami, because then what we just did in Philadelphia will be a real big setback. We need to keep going forward, and that's what I want, Moose.
No, I get it. Well, Charlie, enjoy wearing the Rusty Staub jersey tonight out at Citi Field as you take in the game with Clay Holmes on the mound as they open up a series against the Miami Marlins. Jonah Tong on the mound tomorrow night as he makes his Major League Baseball debut. Yeah, you should be excited. I mean, that's really what it's all about. I mean, this, you know, McClain has injected a little bit of energy, a little bit of juice, a little bit of excitement. You've watched it, the efficiency, 95 pitches over 8 innings of work, going out there and, you know, no walks, you know, being competitive in the strike zone, the not being a pure velocity, max effort kind of a guy, the confidence, the swagger that he has. A lot to like. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. Like, I'd be an idiot to come on the airwaves this morning and kind of poo-poo it and say, not all that impressive. It's impressive. It's fun to watch. And it just shows you, like, as we have gone on, and in Major League Baseball, there's been a trend where the bullpens have just kind of overtaken anything. Like, they're, you know, teams are deathly afraid, based on analytics, of allowing guys go out there and go through a third time through a lineup. The competitive juices. I mean, that's really what set guys apart. Yeah, you got to have the physical attributes and you got to be really good athletically, but it's your competitiveness, you know, to be successful, to continue to work, to want to be great, all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, we've leaned against it or away from that in Major League Baseball. Really have. When it comes to handling pitching staffs, you know, we can get into how you grade out players, how you judge out players, and the use of analytics and how we've kind of lost the heartbeat to the game, as Joe Torre used to talk about. But, you know, we don't lean into that all that much. We really don't. And I think it does a disservice, you know, to starting pitchers. You know, I heard Darling talk about that the other day, you know, and the development of those pitchers, you know, to be able to kind of push the boundaries. That's what you want. That's when you learn about people. That's when you learn about athletes, is when they're a little tired, a little worn down. You continue to push them through, not to the point where, you know, they're going to get hurt. But you mean to tell me, like, you know, we wouldn't see the gutsy performances of, say, like Jack Morris, dating myself, going back to that World Series against the Atlanta Braves? What about what we saw all those years, a big game pitcher like a David Cohn was, like an Andy Pettit was? You know, you want to see those things. And McClain, you know, there was no conversation. It wasn't like he was at 100 pitches last night through 6 innings. He threw 8 innings, you know, of 4-hit baseball, and he threw 95 pitches. I mean, really efficient, strike thrower. You know, he threw 95 pitches. 71 of them were strikes. Impressive. Neil in the Bronx up next to the fan. What's going on, Neil?
What's going on, Moose? I'm a huge Yankee fan, but I agree with you 100%, Moose. Watching the Yankees beat up on the Nationals just show one thing. That home run or bust strategy they have only works with bad teams. That is not going to work against good teams, especially in the playoffs when you get deeper where the pitching gets better.
Yeah, it's not. The home runs go away. I mean, you're going to see big home runs. We saw one, we saw a number of them last year for the Yankees as they made it to the World Series before they lost to the Dodgers in five games. You saw a number in that Cleveland series, Stanton, Soto. But yeah, those do have a tendency to go away. You're not going to daylight teams. You're not going to go out there and embarrass teams. You're not going to have a game in which you hit five, six home runs. All the stuff that we've seen for this team. And listen, I'm not telling you it's not enjoyable. Like, yeah, it's enjoyable. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Yankees did to the Nats what a good baseball team should do against a team that's not particularly good. I mean, that is what they did. You know, and they should do the same this weekend against the Chicago White Sox. The concern you have, and what I talked about earlier on in the hour, is this, is when the Yankees have faced good baseball teams based on record, they are playing to a losing record. I mean, they just are. I mean, that those are facts. I mean, we're coming off a weekend in which the Yankees lost 3 of 4 against the Boston Red Sox in a variety of different ways. One game having four errors, another game, you know, the Red Sox daylighted them with that big top half of the ninth inning, you know, and they lose that game 12-2. I mean, so variety of different ways, but the Yankees showed themselves. I don't care about who's more talented than that. Results are results. You know, that's what professional sports is about, right? This is not about the Yankees. This is not a you know, draft and develop team in 2025. This is a team that, you know, wanted to take the very next step after getting embarrassed last year in the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers and trying to win a World Series. Because as we click the years on by, you know, Aaron Judge is not getting younger. He's getting older.
Yes. They're just wasting his years. Totally wasting his years.
Well, we'll see how this year does end up. Do I have supreme confidence? Can the Yankees get through the American League? Yeah, I mean, I think it's a possibility that the Yankees get through the American League. The concern I have, Neil, is can they play consistent quality baseball enough to be able to do it? Like, that's the issue that you have. And we have not been able to see that. Not against good teams. Pat in Manhattan, up next to the fan. What's going on, Pat?
Yes, Moose. First off, the first series of the season, the Yankees played Milwaukee, and the Yankees destroyed Milwaukee. Milwaukee has the best record in the National League. I remember after that series was over, they said, "Oh, the Yankees beat up on awful teams." That was what we heard. Now the Yankees played Seattle. Are they an awful team? They've won 5 out of 6 games against Seattle. They played San Diego. They won 2 out of 3 games. The Nationals, who they destroyed, didn't they just take a series from the Mets 2 out of 3 games?
They did.
I mean, yeah. Now, by the way, Moose, last night Toronto had a comeback and they won. Yesterday Toronto came back. If Toronto didn't have a 3-run rally in the bottom of the 8th inning and won that game, the Yankees would have been closer to first place than the Mets, despite the fact that the Mets swept the Phillies. The Yankees have won in the last 15 games. They've won 11 and they've lost 4 games. And they gained ground. Okay. Now the thing is, but we dwell on the fact that they lost 3 out of 4 to the Red Sox. Mark, there was a caller you had earlier, and you skew so negative.
Pat, do I look at the Yankees right now with 29-30 games to go in the regular season? Do I look at the Yankees as being a championship team? You can bring up examples. You're going back to the opening weekend against Milwaukee. You know, you're going, okay, great. They won a series against San Diego. Okay, great. They've played well against Seattle. How'd they do against Boston? What happened up in Toronto? I mean, we can look at it, and here's the other aspect of it. The National League is decidedly stronger than as compared to the American League. So if you want, like I said, you don't have to agree with everything that I said. It is my opinion. So you have a different opinion. You're giddy about the Yankees. You're excited about the Yankees. You look at the fact that they hit 6 home runs yesterday against the Washington Nationals. The Yankees have turned a corner. Now all of a sudden they're going to go out and play championship baseball, something we have not seen them go out there and consistently do. You don't necessarily care that they're reliant on the home run to score. Okay. Like I said, everyone can have differing opinions. Do I look at this team and have the utmost confidence that they're going to be playing their best come October? I don't. One guy I do believe will was Stang. And like I said earlier in the hour, if you've been on his rear end, get off.